listening to lgradio.online. I'm Leo Green. Welcome to In Conversation. In this episode, we pick up from the conversation that took place between my late father, Benny Green, and Tony Bennett. At the end of the last episode, Tony had shared with us how he had ended up discovering and singing one of the many songs we forever associate with him.
I left my heart in San Francisco. High on a hill, it calls to me to be where little cable cars climb halfway to the stars. The morning fog may chill the air, I don't care, my love waits there in San Francisco. Above the blue and windy sea, when I come home to you, San Francisco, your golden sun will shine for me.
For 45 years, I've been really, you know, a traveling singer throughout the world. Throughout the world. And the one thing I find, the enlightening thing that I find about traveling and getting this great education, traveling as a world citizen, is that when you get to a country that's aged, they show you what they've contributed. The first thing they do is show you, this is like in Britain, they show you theater. They say, this is what we do, you know. Italy, you know, painting and music and, right, it's obvious. French, you know, with the cooking, with the painting. Germany with the science. They show you, like in Korea, they have a wonderful gift for taking just three colors very carefully that are incongruous to one another, and yet they all blend harmonically. And it's a subtle art, but it's their art. And it says, they're magnificent colorists. Now, this happens throughout the world, Chinese art, African art. They show you, this is what we've given to the world. This is what our country has given to the world. America is so young that we're still in the gold rush era, you know. There's so much opportunity to make money in the United States that they'll rush to anything, whether it's good or bad or indifferent. They say, this is it. We're cashing in on this. But they really dislike tradition. And yet we have a magnificent tradition in the United States, because I consider it comparable to the French Impressionist painters, the turn of the century in France. You have all these magnificent songs come out of the Broadway shows and movies and the extended improvisation of jazz, you know, from New Orleans and up to Chicago and then into New York City, Louis Armstrong, etc., you know.
Oh, when you smiling.
Jazz artists have to come to Europe and do very well on the continent in the great jazz concerts, you know, but in their own country, they're unknown. I mean, I can't mention his name because I wouldn't ever want to hurt his occupation, but there's one tremendous bebop player that I know. I played some tennis with him and all that, and on the way home, I said, how the gigs going? He said, I only had two this year. I couldn't believe it. I mean, he's really one of the most profound players of all time. And he only had two jobs in the United States. There's a lack of justice. When the uncreative start insisting that the creative, what to do, it just stops becoming art. The artists are to be trusted. They should just be left alone, and then if they make a mistake, their dignity is at stake. They're going to correct it. They will correct it. They will just say, that was a little too long or a little too short. Let's put this number in the second half instead of the first half. And they correct it and finally hone it. So they should be allowed to just be trusted. Thank God for the public. They allow you to do that. But it's the uncreative that say, you made a mistake, But human beings, we all make mistakes. That happens over and over. Well, that's it. That's the plight. But thank God for the public. Especially, I play all over the world, but, Ted Lewis, a great veteran performer years ago, I was sitting in the Friars Club, and he said, where are you going to, son, from here? I said, well, for the first time, I'm going to Great Britain. He said, do me a favor, and I took him up on it. I followed his advice. He said, come to Britain every 18 months or every 2 years. He said, you're going to find out that audience stays more and more loyal with each season, and they get warmer and friendlier. And it's come true. Here I am, 45 years later, I come back every 2 years or so, and I just adore the British audience. We play up in Northern England and Glasgow and the first time in Ireland now, and Belfast and Dublin and all this area. And it's magnificent. It's unforgettable. The applause that I get in Glasgow, I can still hear in my ears when I'm in Philadelphia or Oklahoma somewhere. There's nothing like it.
Stepping out with my baby, can't go wrong cause I'm in right. It's for sure, not for maybe, that I'm all dressed up tonight. Stepping out with my baby, can't be bad to feel so good. Never felt quite so sunny that I keep on knocking wood. They'll be smooth sailing cause I'm trimming my sails with my top hat and my white tie and my tails. Stepping out with my baby, can't go wrong cause I'm in right. Ask me when will that day be? The big day may be tonight. If I seem too scintillate, it's because I've got a date. A date with a package of the good things that come with love. You don't have to ask me, I won't waste your time. But if you should ask me why I feel sublime, take it, Ralph. Dance. Cause I'm trimming my sails with my top hat and my white tie and my tails. Stepping out with my baby, can't go wrong cause I'm in right. Ask me when will that day be? The big day may be
conversation then turned inevitably to the great songwriters.
I'm a big Charlie Chaplin fan, a big one. I know everything about. I always consider his real life was so much better than his films, and you know how good his films were. But he had a most magnificent life. I love the way he wrote music. The Limelight is the most beautiful movie. All of his movies are wonderful, but his real life, what happened to him in his real life, is so fantastic. I read two versions of biographies of Chaplin where they referred to the, they couldn't both write as the second, the latest one, which was kind of criticized, but I enjoyed it very much. They couldn't get over the amount of recall that he had. He knew every music hall he played in, who was on the bill with him, how much money he made. I mean, his recall was just genius. Something that I've always been amazed at when I read the both biographies is that you mentioned the clarinet and the music, which was very prevalent in his films. But then the blind clarinet player. The great scene in Modern Times when the blind, in City Lights, the blind girl, you know, gives the flower. And she touches his hand and realizes that it's him. You know, of all the comedians in the world, he was the only one that could make you cry. All the others are fabulous. I mean, Jackie Gleason, God knows, is wonderful. All the great comedians, they're very wonderful and humorous. But to make you laugh and cry, and this is beyond anyone else. This is like Art Tatum. You just put him on a shelf. You put Chaplin on a shelf. Then there's the rest of it, all the other entertainers, you see. Extraordinary.
Smile, though your heart is aching. Smile, even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by. If you smile through your fears and sorrow, smile and maybe tomorrow you'll see the sun come shining through for you. Light up your face with gladness. Hide every trace of sadness. Although a tear may be ever so near, that's the time you must keep on trying. Smile, what's the use of crying? You'll find that life is still worthwhile if you just smile. That's the time you must keep on trying. Smile, what's the use of crying? You'll find that life is still worthwhile if you just smile.
I love that song. When they say the young kids don't like that kind of music, that's not true. It's going to come back. It's not going to go away. I mean, look, it's the marketing people haven't got their finger on the pulse, because you have television, you have films, you have recordings. So I know when they see Fred Astaire dance or Count Basie play on a documentary, I know that when they see that, they say, hey, that It's just because I know from being in vaudeville years ago, a juggler would come out. No one knew who he was, but he would be so good with his timing and everything that everybody would start applauding. I mean, if someone's doing something well, it's respected and it's appreciated by the audience. So if someone's doing something exceptional, I don't care how young anyone is, they're going to like it. They're going to say, God, how did he do that? They don't look at all the great jazz artists right now that exist, and they do not get nominated on the Grammys. They don't, you know, maybe an occasional Oscar Peterson will get it, you know, or something like that. But I mean, or Dave Brubeck or whoever, you know, just, but a lot of the great ones, you know, are just not registered at all. It's a big lack of justice there. And the young people have picked up on it, believe me. You know what's happening in the States? These clubs that were always sparse but had great guys like Art Farmer and these tremendous musicians in the clubs, now they're packed out with young people. It's finally coming around. It's a full cycle. Now they're discovering the young people love jazz. They love improvisation. They know that it's not predictable, it's not planned, and they're just doing something spontaneous. And they love that. They love something that's really alive and truthful and sincere. And they hear it, and they're attracted. They're finally caught on with it. You must understand, the United States is the great experiment. I mean, if that doesn't work, the world's not going to work, because it's all different nationalities. It's really minestrone soup. I mean, you have every political philosophy, every kind of religious philosophy, all different religions, all nationalities, and it's all mixed up. So it's not like a one philosophy, which is British, or a French philosophy, which is French, you know, Italian philosophy. This is all together. And I love it, because to me it's a great creative pad to create with, because you could just take the best of each nationality and have get some great ideas for whatever you're doing, you know. So I love the American way about things, you know, because it's complex, but it's very creative. It's very much like nature, you know. It's not planned, but it's all there. We're in such an age of marketing now, but they don't play George Gershwin on the radio. It's funny. It's a shame. Duke Ellington, I mean, imagine, you know, they don't play enough of him, and yet every musician in the world of any high competence, more than competent musician, adores Duke Ellington's music. The record companies don't listen to the musicians, but you have a Dave Frisberg, you know, you have Stephen Sondheim, you have Cy Coleman, you have Alan and Marilyn Bergman, you have Michel Legrand. There's so many. Jack Siegel, Bob Wells, Mel Torme. There's so many wonderful composers that are the equivalent and in the same tradition of a Larry Hart or a Yip Harburger, a Harold Arlen, or an Ira Gershwin. But they don't play them on the radio. They don't play. It's like I heard Arthur Miller kind of criticizing the critics in the United States. He said, he was upset over the fact, he said, we're such a young country, we don't know how important tradition is. And the great American songbook that was from the late 20s into the all of the 30s and then the 40s, that was the golden age of the best composers. You had Cole Porter, you had Jerome Kern, who was the spearhead of it all, and then all these great composers. So they're not, to me, I'd never think of them as old songs, just very intelligently written songs that are just so well married to the lyrics, and the music are married so together and good for singers to sing. You know, they knew about vowels on the top of a high note and everything, so it would be easy to sing and all this. They knew the craft of making a song work and putting a good beat, a syncopated beat on it. So, and they insisted on Fred Astaire doing all those, introducing most of those songs, and were they right, because he just had such impeccable taste.
I won't dance, don't ask me. I won't dance, don't ask me. I won't dance, madam, with you.
One of Tony Bennett's favorite singers, Fred Astaire, accompanied on that recording by the great Oscar Peterson. And that concludes this edition of In Conversation. Please do visit our website, lgradio.online, to find out when our last episode of our In Conversation with Tony Bennett, along with all of our other shows, will be on. Thank you for listening.